Thought I had it on. Well, I got it on. All right. It is amazing to me that we can come and call ourselves praising God and looking at the words that are on the screen, looking at the and thinking about the words on the screen and singing the words on the screen and be so dispassionate about praising God. Now I'm not trying to go charismatic on you folks, okay? I'm not asking for runners. I'm not asking for pew hoppers. I'm not asking you to be slain in the spirit. I'm not asking you to do any of that kind of stuff. But what I am asking you to do is open up your heart. Open up your emotions, because part of our worship of God is an emotional experience. If you read the Bible and you see anyone that came face to face with God, there was an emotional experience. Some were weeping. Some fell on their face before God. Some were just broken over their sin. And there is emotion involved in our relationship with God. And as Baptists, we have taken that emotion out of our praise to the detriment of our praise, because it's not biblical. Now, again, I'm not asking you to go charismatic. I'm not asking you to do anything crazy. What I'm asking you to do is to open up your heart, open up your mind, open up your being to the truth of what it means to praise and remember who we are praising. And Psalm 150 gives us a good anatomy of praise. It gives us some good instruction, because it answers some very important questions. It answers who, where, why, and how. If we're going to praise, we need to understand who's supposed to praise, where we're supposed to praise, when we're supposed to praise, and how we're supposed to praise. And so we need to look at these things and understand, and then let God move us in praise. So if you will stand with me as we begin to look at Psalm 150, and we're going to read all six verses. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. Praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with the harp and the lyre. Praise Him with the timbrel and dancing. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and pipe. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with resounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Let's pray. Lord God, You are truly worthy of our praise. But God, we don't really understand what it means to praise. God, I'm still trying to learn myself. But God, the best teacher is being in Your presence and just letting go of who we are and acknowledging who You are with everything that we have. God, I pray that You would help us move to a place and develop an environment here where we have the freedom to praise You like You're worthy of praise. We have the freedom to declare Your goodness, to declare agreement, to say, "Yes, Lord," to shout when the Spirit moves us, to fall on our face when the Spirit convicts us, to weep over our sin and the lostness around us. God, to engage our whole being in celebrating You, engage our whole being in acknowledging You, engage our whole being in worship of You. God, understanding that You're worthy of it. And if there is anything in this life that we should get excited about, anything in this life worthy of our shouting, anything in this life worthy of our celebrating and being excited and even dancing, God, it's You. So Lord, I pray tonight that You would open up our hearts, open up our minds, tear down the walls that we have built up of restraint. God, not that we would get out of order, not that we would be unbiblical, not that we would be drawing attention to ourselves, but God, we would be celebrating You, and it would be okay. So Lord, I pray that You would be at work in our hearts and our minds today. God, let us celebrate You like we've never celebrated anything before in our life, because You are worthy of our greatest praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. First of all, we've got to understand what praise is. What does it mean to praise? What's the definition of praise? We use the term all the time, but do we really understand what praise is? All right. According to Strong's commentary, there's a whole list or a whole range of things that praise entails. One of those is to shine. To praise is to shine light upon. We're shining light upon God when we praise. We're shining light upon His goodness. We're making plain. We're making evident. We're making visible the glory of God, the power of God, the hope of God, the grace of God. We're shining on it. We're letting it shine through us. That's a part of praise. Another aspect of praise is to shout joyfully. To shout joyfully. One of the things that, and one of the characteristics and one of the dynamics of praise as we look through this and as it talks about praise, praise is not something that is subdued and quiet. We have confused boring with reverence. Okay? We've confused docile with reverence. To revere means to respect. And to respect doesn't mean that you sit quietly with hands folded and a long downcast face. Reverence, respect means that you give them the honor that's due. And sometimes God's due a good shouting. Sometimes God's due a good loud hand clap. Sometimes God's due a vocal praise, a lifting of hands, a bowing of the knee. God's due to honor Him is to give Him what is due. And to praise Him is to shine light on who He is, to shout joyfully about who He is and what He's done. To boast in is another aspect of praise, to boast. When we sing about the greatness and the mighty and the power of God, we're boasting in God. We're declaring who He is and what He's done. We boast in the Lord. Well, I don't know about you, but it's kind of hard to boast in something, to celebrate, to tell something that's so great and to do it with a frown on your face. I'm just going to tell you, I'm a granddad, you know that. Grayson, as bad as I hate it, played soccer this year. Hate soccer. But my grandson was playing it, so I loved watching it. And man, when I would show somebody, and some of you have been privileged enough to see some videos of my grandson playing soccer, And when I showed you that, man, I'm just going to be honest, I was smiling. I was excited to show you. I was boasting in my grandson. When I show videos of Anna or Alex or Ainsley or Rachel, his wife Rachel or Ashley or Travis, and man, I show you pictures of them or I show you video of them doing something back when they played sports and all that, man, there is a joy, there is an excitement when I'm boasting in my kids and their accomplishments. Man, you smile, you light up, you're animated. We're boasting in those things that we're proud of. Well, if we're going to boast in the Lord, man, how can we boast in the Lord with a long face? How can we boast in the Lord and sit there as inanimate as we've ever been before in our life? How can we boast in the Lord and not get excited about who He is and what He's done? His accomplishments in my life. How He has been so faithful and how He's been so loving and how He's been so passionately pursuing me and so patient with me. How can I not be excited about that? To boast in the Lord is to praise the Lord. Then other aspects of it is not only shining light on who He is, not shouting joyfully in response to Him, not boasting in Him, but it's also to make a show. Now, it's not, we're not showing ourselves or drawing light on us. It's doing our good deeds in such a way that men see them and glorify our Father. It's demonstrating our passion for the Lord, demonstrating our love for the Lord, demonstrating our excitement for the Lord. Now, it's not a show for men, it's a show for God. Many of you will say, well, God knows my heart, God knows I love Him. Well, so does your wife, but she likes to see you show it sometimes. Why do we think God wants to know it less? Yeah, God knows your heart. God knows you love Him, but He wants to see you get excited about Him every once in a while. He wants to see you boast about Him. He wants to see you get fired up about Him. So it's to make a show. This one you're going to love. One of the aspects of praise, one of the dynamics of praise, is to be foolish. See, that goes against everything a Baptist thinks. Well, I don't want to be thought of as a fool. I don't want to be foolish. You know? What was it that David said when he was bringing back the ark and he was dancing before the ark and he was dancing so hard that he danced right out of his tunic and he had nothing but his loincloth on and he was dancing as he was leading the ark of God back to the people of Israel and he was dancing and his wife was looking at him and thinking how foolish he looks and how a spectacle he's making and how he's just being a fool. And he comes and she starts scolding about him dancing before the Lord. And he said, look, I was dancing before the Lord. I didn't care who was looking. And look, I'll be more undignified than this before my God. See, we think dignity is what God wants. No, sometimes God wants us just to be foolish over Him. Part of praise is saying, look, I don't care what people think. I want to celebrate my God. I want to demonstrate. I want to celebrate. I want to worship. I want to tell Him. I want to let Him know how passionate I am about Him. Another aspect of it is to rave. To rave. To go on and on about your God. To go on and on about His goodness, just to rave in His wonders and rave in His glory, to rave in His grace, to rave in His faithfulness, just to go on and on and on about how wonderful God is. We do that about our grandchildren. We do that about different things. We do that about hunting. We do that about all kinds of stuff. But yet God, we think, well, we just can't talk too much about Him. We'll bore people. I don't care if you get bored of hearing about my grandkids or not. I'm going to tell you, because they're important to me. And there's things about your life. You don't care if people want to hear about it or not. You're excited about it. You're going to tell them. And hope they nod with at least a little bit of approval and show some interest. But if they don't, it ain't going to stop you at all. You're going to keep telling them. That's what it means to rave about God, to praise Him. It means that you're telling, you're sharing, you're going on and on about His goodness. And then another aspect is to celebrate. To celebrate God. So when we talk about praise, and the command here is to praise, it encapsulates all of these things. It, basically what it means is to be passionate about God. To be passionate about the One who created you. To be passionate about the One who sent His Son to die for you. To be passionate about the One that loves you so faithfully and so completely and so perfectly and so amazingly. And any other adjective you want to add to that. To be passionate about God is to praise God. To be passionate about God is to let people know of your passion. It's something you cannot contain. So he begins with the command, the call to praise the Lord. And it's an open-ended call. Notice here he didn't just say, okay, you Christians or you lovers of God. He calls all people. It's an open-ended call to praise the Lord. And he qualifies it down in the last verse with who is supposed to praise God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Because God is worthy of the praise of all of His creation. Now, there are some that refuse to praise Him. There are a lot of church members that refuse to praise Him. God is worthy of it. So the call, the invitation, the command is for everything that has breath. Because one day, when Jesus comes back, every knee shall bow, every tongue will confess that He is Lord to the glory of God the Father. One day, everyone will praise Him. And I don't think that acknowledgement is going to be just a quiet, you're Lord. I don't think that's going to suffice. I don't think that's going to get it. When they see Him, their mind's going to be blown. They're still not going to worship Him. They're still not going to surrender to Him. But they're going to vocally, they're going to shout, "You are the Lord." There's not going to be any halfway, half-hearted. It's going to be too late, but they're going to declare it. So who is supposed to? Everyone, everything that has breath should praise God. Now, where should we praise Him? Second part of verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty expanse. So for us, it's, where do we praise Him? We praise Him here. We praise Him here. We shout Him here. We celebrate Him. We rave about Him here. We sing about Him here. We get excited about Him here. We praise Him loudly, vocally here. We also do it, where is the sanctuary of God? Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. We should praise Him privately. We should have a time where we're shouting about God. And even our experience here as we're worshiping and praising God corporately, it comes from an overflow of our personal praise. If we're not praising Him personally, then our singing here is of no use. It's of no value. So we're to praise Him in the sanctuary of our soul, the sanctuary of our heart, the sanctuary of our life. We're supposed to praise, to rave, to shout, to be excited, to boast in God, be reminded constantly and talk about Him to ourselves. You know, you talk to yourself about all kinds of things. Do you talk to yourself about God and remind yourself how good God is, how faithful He is, how awesome He is, how powerful He is? Do you praise Him to yourself when nobody else is listening but you and Him? Shout to the Lord. Celebrate Him. Then we can celebrate Him here, and it's such a glorious time. It's such a wonderful time when people who aren't members of this church, people who are visiting, man, they come in and they feel the Spirit. And man, that's what we want. We want the Spirit to be so thick in here when somebody comes, man, they say, man, this place is different. This ain't just your typical Southern Baptist church I've been to. These people love Jesus. You can feel it. You can hear it. You can sense it. It is palatable, their love for the Lord. That is coming through our praise. That's how you do that. It's not sitting with stoic, silent, long faces. It's not sitting with arms crossed and quietly listening. It's participating, not just in music. You know, sermons should be a participatory. I like that. You know, ain't nothing wrong with that. You know, sometimes we part of our praise is not just worship. Music is not just the only way we worship. Music is not the only way we praise. Our preaching is praise. And if I'm preaching something and the Word of God touches your heart and you're in agreement, man, say yes. Say amen. Shout. It's great. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We went to Mount Zion. Mount Zion came here. You folks talked about how awesome it was. When they left, again, you were quiet as church mouses. So it's okay for them to say something, but man, we can't. And part of our praise is the preaching of the Word. And part of our praise is acknowledging when the Word, when I say something that you is right or God touches your heart, man, I want you to have the freedom to say, preach it. Yes. Amen. Whatever God leads you to say, that's good. That's fine. But for some reason in the Baptist church, we've decided that you're supposed to sit here quietly and I'm supposed to do all the talking and you're just supposed to sit down and take notes. Shut up, sit down, take notes. Sounds too much like school, doesn't it? Gosh. It should be okay for you to agree, for you to acknowledge, for you to celebrate what God is speaking to you through His Word. That's part of praise. So we're to praise God in His sanctuary, in our private life, in our heart, and we're to praise Him in the sanctuary as His church comes together, but we're to praise Him also in His mighty expanse. Where is that? Everywhere outside of here. Wherever you is, your praise ought to be on. He's worthy of our praise. It's not just something we do on Sundays. We don't just talk about how good God is in here. If that's all we talk about, the only place we talk about God is here or in our family, then we're failing the Great Commission. We're to be the ambassadors of God. going into the places of darkness, going into to the world to share the love of God. So we're to praise Him. We're to shout joyfully here. We're to boast in Him. We're to make a show here. We're to be foolish here for God. We're to rave and to celebrate here, but we're also to do it in the world, outside this place, in all of His mighty expanse. Why? Why are we to praise? Verse 2 tells us, praise Him for His mighty deeds. Praise Him for what He's done. And He's not just talking about that He parted the Red Sea for the Israelites. He's talking about praising for what He's done in your life. Praise Him how He's seen you through. Praise Him how He's been faithful to you. Praise Him how He's transformed your heart. Praise Him how He's rescued your marriage. Praise Him for how He has been faithful in your children's lives. Praise Him how He has blessed you with so many things. Praise Him, rave about Him, shout about Him, be joyful about Him because of what He's done. He's worthy of it. Man, we need to let people know what God's doing. Now, I'm just telling you, if you got nothing to say about what God's doing in your life, if God's not doing anything in your life, you need to check your salvation. You need to check your obedience. You need to check and see whether you're following God or not. Because if you're following Him, then He is going to be doing things in you and then through you. The life of a disciple is not a life where we just get saved and we just go on and God never really does anything. He's just the God of the Bible. He does miracles back then. He does all those things back then. No, He's the God that still does the same thing now. If we walk by faith and not by sight, God's going to be showing up. God's going to be working. God's going to be transforming. God's going to be doing some amazing things. And we'll have plenty of things to talk about if we're following the Lord. If we're walking by faith, not by sight, we'll have plenty to talk about. So we're to praise Him for all of His deeds, His mighty deeds. We're to praise Him according to His excellent greatness. We're to praise Him for what He's done. We're to praise Him for who He is. You want to know how you're able to praise Him for who He is? You know Him more intimately every day. See, we're still trying to praise God on experiences from years ago. And our praise is wearing thin. It's kind of quiet. It's kind of old. It's kind of stale. Because we're praising Him for how we knew Him 10 years ago or how we knew Him when we first got saved. We're not praising Him about the new things that we understand, the deeper things we understand, the more intimate we are with Him. Because we're not growing intimate with Him. We're not digging in His Word. We're not spending time meditating on His Word. We're not praying to Him. We're not walking with Him every day intimately and closely and personally and passionately. When we're doing that, we can celebrate His greatness. We've got plenty of stuff to talk about what He's done, but we'll also have brand new, exciting, passionate praise because we understand Him more and know Him more. See, I fully believe that once we get to heaven, We're through with this sin nature. We're through with this body. We've been glorified and we know things better and we understand His grace more than we ever have before. We understand His mercy and His salvation better than we've understood it before. But I don't think we'll ever get through discovering new things about God. For eternity, we'll become more and more intimate with God. We'll understand His grace even more over an eon rather than just the first day we get to heaven. But we will grow in our understanding because God is so big, God is so mighty, God is so awesome that even in eternity, we'll never know everything about Him. We'll constantly be discovering more of the depth and the height and the breadth and the width of His love. And we'll have new things to praise Him about. See, if we knew everything about God right at the beginning, man, 10,000 years into heaven, we'd be getting kind of tired of praising Him because we already know everything about Him. But when we're discovering new, we're reminded afresh and we have a deeper understanding. Every day, we're going to be able to praise Him afresh with new vigor and new excitement because we know more about this God who saved us. We know more about this love that is lavished upon us, even in heaven. So the more we understand Him now, the more we can celebrate His excellent greatness. because we know Him better today than we did yesterday. We've experienced Him differently today than we did yesterday. So we've identified the who, we've identified the where and the why, and now we want to look at the how. How are we supposed to praise Him? How are we supposed to shine, to shout joyfully, to boast in, to make a show of, to act foolishly, to rave about, to celebrate God? How are we supposed to praise Him? Well, it's not quiet. It's going to give you a heads up. Doesn't look much like what mostly we do. Verse 3, praise Him with the trumpet sound. Praise Him with a harp and the lyre. Those are stringed instruments, kind of like a guitar, different things like that. Praise Him with a timbrel and dancing. Can you say that in a Baptist church? With a timbrel, a tambourine, and dancing. Whew. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and the pipe. Praise Him with the loud cymbals. Praise Him with the resounding cymbals. Now, if you read through that and you honestly look at it, there is nothing quiet about the praise that God deserves. There's nothing reserved, nothing laid back, nothing. I didn't see an organ or a piano in there anywhere. But for years, we said, if you got anything but an organ and a piano, by golly, you're going charismatic. Do you know that when they first started introduced the piano into worship, that preachers were just aghast, and it was the devil's instrument? You don't know why? Because the piano was played in the bar hall. It was in the tavern. That's where it started. Then it was brought into the church. Oh my gosh, anything but the voice of people. So the first devil's instrument was the piano, according to Baptist. But yet, now it's drums and all this other. The Bible says we are to praise God with everything that's available to us. We're to celebrate. We're to dance. We're to excited. You know, most of us, you ever seen that movie Hitch with Will Smith? If you hadn't, he's a guy that fixes people up. He's a matchmaker, and he helps with relationships. And man, there's this one guy he's working with, and he's teaching him to dance. And he says, okay, this is your zone right here. This is it. Nothing more than this. Don't you do anything but this. This is your zone. He was a Baptist. This is Baptist dancing right here. We singing. We can do this. That's it. And don't even think about doing it with the whole choir. Because then that's just too much. Problem is most of us white folks can't sway in rhythm anyway. But if you try to do it, you're getting charismatic. Man, God is worthy of. Now, again, let me stress this. Let me say this. Please hear this from my heart. I'm not asking us to put on a show for each other. I'm not asking us to outdo each other. I'm not asking us to become charismatic. I'm asking us. I'm declaring on the authority of God's word that God deserves more than we're giving Him. Plain and simple, God deserves more than we're giving Him. And when we're called to praise, when we say we're going to praise the Lord, it's not just opening our voices and singing. It's praising Him with everything that we are, for everything that He is, and everything that He's done. And if you feel like raising your hands, I want this to be a place where you can raise your hands to God and surrender and celebrate. You can bow down on your knees. You can weep. And we don't look at each other and say, why are you doing it? Stop that. That we have an environment where the praise of God and the praise of His people is enjoyed and encouraged, and then people will come and people will see and experience the presence of God in the presence of His people, and they are worshiping Him, and God can move and have freedom in us. Again, I'm not asking anybody to run circles around here. I'm not asking anybody to fall out. I'm not asking you to jump pews. I'm just asking you to open up your heart to truly celebrate God. At least like you celebrate your favorite team. At least like you celebrate your grandchildren. At least like you celebrate when your children are playing sports. At least. Whatever it is that fires you up, whatever it is that gets you excited, whatever it is that encourages you to shout, to cheer, to clap, at least give God that. Because as much as I love my grandchildren, they don't deserve it nearly as much as my God does. So let's worship. Let's praise. Let's love. Let's get to know God more, so we can have a fresh reason to celebrate and praise. If you will stand with me,